Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Packaging Europe weekly podcast. I'm Libby Mumford, part of the content team here at Packaging Europe, and I'm pleased to be joined today by Calvin Lutcan, who is currently co-investigator of the Waste Wiki project at York University, of the Faculty of Environmental and Urban Change with Dr. Mark Winfield, a research project devoted to advancing the understanding of waste management research and policy in Canada. So, Calvin, welcome, firstly, and thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And as a new voice, perhaps we could start by learning a little bit about your journey into studying recycling and waste management.
You know, it's very interesting. Waste isn't really a sexy topic, at least when I was a student. And what had actually happened was it was very serendipitous. I began my career as a consultant for what was a stewardship organization, so a place called Stewardship Ontario. They were responsible for administering our provincial residential recycling program for printed paper and packaging, the Blue Box.
Mm-hmm.
After spending some time there as a consultant, I realized, wow, waste is this huge industry. So in Ontario, for some context, it was a $330 million annual cost, and it completely blew my mind. And as a individual, waste was always kind of out of sight, out of mind for me. But it was through my experiences as a consultant, I realized, wow, there's so much exciting things to talk about, and it's much more complex and contentious than I could have ever imagined. And it's from that experience that encouraged me to pursue my PhD with a focus on waste and looking at, you know, what really does make an effective waste management system and what are the things that we're doing well and what are the things we're doing poorly. So that was kind of the catalyst to my career in waste more than a decade ago.
I'm intrigued. Obviously, we kind of look a lot across the whole value chain of the packaging industry and trying to create a sustainable future. But we don't always hear so much from, you know, what happens at the end with the waste. I'm intrigued to pick your brain today. So firstly, I'd like to ask you, maybe you could tell me a little bit more about your particular area of expertise. I've mentioned you're part of the Waste Wiki project at York University. Perhaps you could tell me a bit more about this.
Sure. So the conception of the Waste Wiki, although we're changing our name to the Circular Innovation Hub, you know, you got to keep up with the latest terms, was to bridge the gap between academia, industry, and government, and using sound science and evidence to help guide policy. One of the issues that I encountered at a professional level was that a lot of the decisions and policies surrounding waste were driven by very emotional or political narratives, and often neglected sound, rational, scientific reasoning. And so the purpose of the Waste Wiki is to kind of help all stakeholders not only come together, but show them the value of using science and academia and research to really make sure that decisions are based in the best possible data and that people are making the most informed decisions possible.
You stand out to me as particularly focusing on waste research. Is that an area that's kind of fashionable or popular? Is it something that you see as pioneering in a way?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. I think that the topic of waste and circularity and, you know, all these wonderful things have permeated into the public consciousness. So when I first started my career, I would say, no, most people didn't really care all that much about it. But now we've kind of galvanized on, oh, we want to ban single-use plastics, and the public cares more than ever. And so do policymakers. What's missing, though, is that academic research component. So when you take a scan of the available literature or active research in the waste management arena, it's often very focused on waste management in developing economies. There's an assumption from a research perspective that, you know, in a modern developed economy, that our waste systems just work. And where I think our work is pioneering is that we highlight, you know, if you peel behind the curtain of the waste management system, there's actually a lot of problems with it, including the way we define our goals and how we address and engage with consumers. I think there's an opportunity in academia to really create a pioneering space in an area that the public really cares about and policymakers now really care about. So it's very fortunate that there's this convergence of interest between all the respective stakeholders.
And I think obviously it is very important to hear what is actually happening at the end of the line of the value chain. What is the reality of what's happening to our waste, our packaging that goes in the bin?
You know, that's a very broad strokes question. There's so much of this that's like jurisdiction specific, and mm-hmm. you know, the way a program in Ontario may operate is fundamentally different than, say, one in the United States. But on the whole, I would say that our waste management has an abnormal fixation on recycling. And so we have a love affair with recycling our packages. It makes sense. You know, it's one of the things that households and consumers have been trained to do. And we often conflate recycling with sustainability. But what a lot of our research shows is that the focus on recycling is actually detrimental or problematic to sustainability as a whole, because once again, reduce, reuse, recycle is not just a catchy phrase, it's the order which we're supposed to do things. And so I think the current state of waste management, and especially for printed paper and packaging, is that we're very focused on attempting to recycle everything everywhere. And that might be at odds with what's actually best from a sustainability perspective.
And I think in my role on the content team at Packaging Europe, we do obviously keep an eye out for greenwashing and false statements that do come out. I do agree with you that there's a particular time there will be a popular focus on a particular material, or for example, plastic straws. There was a big upsurge to change to paper. What's your opinion of that, and what have you found in your research?
Well, you know what? I think a lot of it is well-intentioned, but ill-informed. And so what do I mean by that? In the conversations that I've had about packaging, and particularly plastic packaging, the narrative is, oh, it's negative and we want to get rid of it. But I think a lot of people don't fully understand or appreciate the impact that plastic packaging has on not only the economy, but sustainability as well. And so sometimes I think we create these environmental boogeymans, and plastic is one of those things where we say, we should eliminate all straws or eliminate all bags. And these are, once again, superficially appealing ideas. But when we talk about, well, what are the real problems that we have and how do we address them? It's almost like putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. And I think we need to recognize that, once again, that recycling isn't the primary determinant of whether a packaging, or whether packaging is sustainable or not, and really take a step back and use a life cycle approach to say what packaging makes sense in what context and where. And in my personal opinion, I think we should be material agnostic. There's no such thing as a good material or bad material when it comes to packaging. Mm-hmm. It just depends on the context of the situation and the way we're using it in.
Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to delve a little bit more in the WasteWiki project, what you kind of focused particularly on in your study, what you've learned, what have you learned from your research so far?
Well, that's a big question. So, we do a lot of work on extended producer responsibility and consumer attitudes and behaviors. We're recently creating an open data standard for the plastics sector. But just, I would say what's probably most interesting to your audience is what we learned about the motivation behind why people recycle. And I'll tell you a story. Are you familiar with the recycling logo? You know, the three arrows?
Yeah.
So I was stupid enough to get that tattooed onto the inner part of my wrist. My commitment to recycling. But a lot of my research focused on the role of race and ethnicity as it affects recycling behavior, attitudes towards the environment. My very own research showed that more than 60% of first generation Canadians had no idea what the recycling logo meant. And so I bring up this story not only to illustrate a foolish decision, but to demonstrate that a lot of the language and terminology that we assume to be universal, that we have this lexicon that when we engage with public, that we assume they understand what circularity means or carbon abatement means. And the truth is that the general public has a very tenuous understanding of a lot of the terms and goals that we have. And it's often, they're very disconnected from the reality that they face at an individual level. And so what our research shows is, or hopes to show, is the language of sustainability. How do we communicate in ways to the public and to policymakers in a way that makes sense, is culturally relevant and, you know, engaging to them? And also recognizing that, you know what, there is no universal language to sustainability. And so much of what we need to do is on curating the message to individual audiences. And I think that particularly in large urban economies that are very diverse, you need to understand that the reasons why people may recycle or participate in a waste management initiative are not the same for every cultural group. Everybody has very different motivations. And so our research says, you know what, we need to understand what are these differences, how do we overcome them, and how do we, once again, going back to something I said earlier, engage people in really meaningful ways.
Yeah, exactly. And as I understand, your research obviously is focused in Canada in particular. Excuse my ignorance, but what's your opinion on Canadian waste management, the policies, and how does it work in the country?
Don't want to answer that. I think it works terribly. Well, first I should recognize that, you know, we have a very mature integrated waste management system. Our Blue Box program, which is for residential printed paper and packaging, has been enormously successful. But what right now the situation we find ourselves in is that even the current policies, such as the transition to full producer responsibility in a lot of the provinces, once again prioritizes recycling as the primary goal. Literally, the goal is recycle as much as you can, wherever you can. I think that goal is fundamentally disconnected from the issues we face in our packaging industry, in that the types of packaging that we use today, so lightweight composite materials, are not really compatible with the mechanical recycling systems that we have in place. So that infrastructure that we built, the mature integrated waste management system, was designed for a box of materials that was fundamentally different 10 years ago when compared to today. And so I think where the failure lies is that we keep on looking to old solutions to solve a new problem. And when it comes to certain packaging types like multi-laminates or composites, mechanical recycling simply isn't a solution. So trying to throw more money at the problem isn't going to fix anything. And that's why I always emphasize that we need to take a step back and ask, well, what is the goal of our waste management system? What is it we're trying to achieve? And you'd be surprised how many policymakers, when you ask them, well, what are the three pillars of sustainability? They don't know, right? They have no concept as to what actually constitutes a sustainable program, which is economic, environmental, and social. And so I think where Canada can do a lot better is, once again, recalibrate our goals around sustainability as opposed to just recycling everything everywhere.
Yeah. And do you think sort of it's important to start at the end, look into the end of life of packaging, of waste? Obviously, a lot of people focus on developing new materials, new concepts. We have circularity, we have recyclability, there's a lot of different concepts. But is the key really studying the waste management, in your opinion?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we need to first understand, do like a needs assessment. Well, what are the problems that we have? What is the infrastructure we have available to us? What is technically possible? So if I can go off on a slight tangent, our federal government has set extraordinarily ambitious goals when it comes to recycled content or recycling rate targets. And what they don't understand, it's literally impossible to meet, for example, the recycled content requirement legislation, because there's just not that much material in the marketplace. So I think policymakers in particular set the tone without fully understanding, well, once again, what are the constraints of the system and the reality of the system? And a lot of packaging producers are now kind of facing two different masters, where they're being given goals or directives at the federal level to say, you must achieve X. But then on the other hand, they're having to overcome technical or infrastructural or market-based challenges that they don't always have control over. And so I think that, once again, we need to take a more holistic perspective in understanding what makes sustainable package and when it should be used and where.
But how do we sort of create that unified approach? It's such a complex issue all along the value chain.
You know, absolutely. But I think I hate to beat a dead horse and be redundant. You always have to ask yourself, well, what is it that we're trying to achieve? And I think that, at least based on my anecdotal experiences, if you pull 100 sustainability professionals in the packaging space, you're not going to get universal consensus. Everybody has very different objectives and goals. And I think in the absence of having everybody be on the same page of, well, what is it that we're working towards? You're going to see a divergence in approaches and a divergence in policies that creates a lot of noise. I'm not saying that it's an easy thing to do, but I think that it's a necessary conversation, even if it's difficult, to say we need to be on the same page when it comes to what we want out of our recycling system, what we want out of our waste management system.
So ultimately, what do you think the packaging industry as a whole could potentially learn from your research and gain knowledge from it?
Well, for the packaging industry, I would say a couple of things. One is the importance of understanding. So you mentioned life cycle impact or the totality of the environmental footprint. That's really critical in understanding the role that your packaging can play within the current system. And so what I mean by that is I feel a lot of packaging producers have been coerced or strong-armed into pursuing either different materials or trying to meet recycled content requirements or recycling rate targets. And they've been unable to push back because of the negative sentiment or narrative surrounding, say, plastics. One equipped with the science that shows, if you forgive me for going off on these tangents or anecdotes, I always love telling people about the Oreo cookie box. And so I'm an older guy in my late 30s. When I was a kid, an Oreo cookie box came in a cardboard container, and now it's an peel away plastic laminate. Our government in Canada says that's a bad idea. You need to go back to cardboard because it's recyclable. But when you look at the life cycle perspective, the plastic laminate packaging has achieved the very first R of the 3R hierarchy, which is waste reduction. When you look at the savings in logistics and transportation, you can say, wow, there's material environmental benefits, even though this can't really be recycled. And I think once you kind of take a step back and say, wow, the plastic laminate, despite not being recyclable, offers a lower environmental footprint. You can then start pushing back against people who are trying to force you to certain outcomes because you have the science to say, well, if you take a holistic perspective, these packages are actually better when evaluated in its totality. So I think that's one of the key messages that we want to communicate to packaging producers is that you can't be passive agents when it comes to letting policies and legislation directly affect your business. It's much better to equip yourself with the science and the evidence so that when policymakers come across with the notion of banning plastics or banning a certain material, you have the evidence to say, you know what, the situation isn't nearly as black and white as you think it is.
And when we look at this on a global scale or even from the European level, do you see a unified approach at all globally, or is it just such a complex issue?
You know, it's obviously a complex issue, and coordinating across multiple jurisdictions, much less globally, is prohibitively difficult. But with that being said, I think it's almost going to be by necessity if you want a truly sustainable system. And so I'll use EPR as kind of the example here. The way current EPR approaches are implemented, at least in North America, are at a jurisdictional, so province by province or state by state level. And oftentimes the rules and regulations are vastly different from one another. But we're working in a global marketplace where the flow of packaging is not confined to just that one jurisdiction. You have, you know, it's being sold across the country and across multiple countries. And so it makes it really difficult for producers to say, well, what is it that I need to do when I have to answer to so many different rules and regulations across jurisdiction? And so I think our current approach, the piecemeal or individualized approach, makes it enormously difficult to develop like a coordinated approach towards how do we address the packaging problem. So I think that in order to achieve like meaningful reform at a systemic level, national governments are going to need to kind of band together and kind of set the rules of the game for people and achieve a lot more harmonization in EPR regulations or standards to make it easier for packaging producers to operate within the space. I know Europe does a much better job of that than North America does. There has been a lot of coordination, say, across Green Dot Europe, et cetera. But in the North American market, unfortunately, there's very little, if any, effort to coordinate policies at a multinational level.
And we often hear a lot about initiatives in the developing world when it comes to waste management. Is that sort of an area we should be focusing on, or should we be sorting our own waste management initially?
You know, I think we have to address the elephant in the room, which is waste management in developing economies. For a long time, one of the reasons why we've been able to enjoy out of sight, out of mind when it comes to waste is because we've had the ability to export our waste to, once again, developing economies. And for me, my personal perspective was always rooted in social equity and justice. And so when we talk about single-use plastic bans or minimizing these types of materials, it's fundamentally disconnected from the reality that many developing economies face. And so I once posed a thought experiment to policymakers to say, if overnight you could eliminate all plastic packaging, would you do it? They all raised their hand saying, yes, absolutely. But then I had to mention, it's like, well, plastic packaging plays a critical role in terms of food safety and freshness. And if you ever go, like, I'm from a country called Guyana in South America, literally everything comes in a plastic package because there's a lack of refrigeration and it helps keep things fresh. And so a lot of the, once again, the broader goals of we need to be moving away from single-use plastics is disconnected from the realities that many developing economies are facing. Mm-hmm. So I think that while, yes, we need to keep our own houses in order first, we still have to understand, well, what are the broader implications, and the solutions that will need for developing economies will be fundamentally different than the solutions we have for our own because of the infrastructural differences, demographic differences, and just the different role that packaging plays in so many of these, once again, developing or tropical or remote communities. Mm-hmm. So that's my very long-winded way of saying that, yes, we need to consider global issues, but we need to recognize that the solution will be different for certain communities relative to our own.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything that you think we haven't covered with my questions today at all? Any particular findings in your research that you want to highlight?
Yeah, you know what? The one project that I'm working on now, or one of many, I should say, is on smart labeling for packaging. And mm-hmm. it's been embraced as this potentially technological revolution in the sense people are going to have access to all sorts of information surrounding sustainability or the product's recyclability, et cetera, with the scan of a phone. What our research is showing is that, A, most people don't understand or don't have a full understanding or a robust understanding of the metrics that are getting back. So when you scan a package and it says it uses 20% less carbon, that doesn't mean anything to most people. And the second challenge we have is that it's creating a tiered system of access. We have significant, at least in Ontario, we have a significant demographic that has impeded access to smartphone technology, or they're non-native English speakers. And all of these apps are intended for an English-speaking, technologically savvy audience. And so what we try to remind producers are, well, not just producers, everybody, sustainability is meant for everybody, right? It's a fundamental component. In fact, is social sustainability, which makes up one of the three pillars. And so while using this technology, I think ultimately going to prove fruitful, we need to recognize or ensure that there aren't people left behind, that we're curating our sustainability message to help overcome communication barriers, to help overcome language barriers, and realize that, once again, consumers are not a homogenous group that all behave the same way or interact with packaging the same way. And our tools need to be more nuanced in the approach to engaging with these individuals. So long story short, I think that these technologies are promising, but we need to make sure that they're inclusive as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with me today, Calvin. It's been really interesting to hear all about your research and findings. We welcome yourself and those who are interested in a sustainable future to join us this year at the Sustainable Packaging Summit, which will be held on the 12th and 13th of November in Amsterdam. Tickets are already on sale, so please join us to hear more on a sustainable future. We also have the Global Packaging Sustainability Awards, which are now open for submissions. You can find out more and enter via the Packaging Europe website. And hopefully, if you're interested in this, Calvin, you can take a look at our previous entries from last year and learn a bit about how the packaging industry is developing towards a sustainable future.
That's great. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Brilliant. And thank you so much for joining me today, Calvin.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a wonderful day. Take care.